I ask you to turn in the Pew Bible to Matthew 2, starting the first verse. You'll find it on page 956. If you're using the large print, you'll find it on page 1502. Today's message is entitled Gifts. Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw this star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and all-knowing God, ever present, we thank you for this account of Jesus' birth and the journey of the wise men. We too, many of us, took a long journey, long route. Some of us a roundabout route to find the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your holy inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out. May God, the Holy Spirit, do a work in us, that we be blessed and that we would take it to heart. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are all kinds of gifts. As I share some of my gift experiences this morning, maybe they will remind you of something in your life. Our memories can be good or they can be bad, but they all help form us into who we are today. As Christ's followers, we hold fast to the promise of Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My most vivid memory of a gift as a young child is not a good one. I share it not to dampen the joy of the season, but to speak to the darkness of the world. My parents had recently divorced and things were pretty unsettled. My younger sister and brother and I had been reunited at my paternal grandfather's house the summer before. I was 6 years old, and it was Christmas. My grandfather gave me coal for Christmas, and it was no joke. "I had been bad," he said. This was from a man who was living with his mistress and her 3 children. This was from a man who locked my little brother in a closet as punishment for wetting his pants. 4 years later, a lot had happened. My mother remarried and our stepfather adopted us. One of our favorite activities was to go sledding together on a big hill, a short drive from our apartment. It was great fun and exhilarating, lots of laughing. That Christmas, my mom and adopted dad gave me my own toboggan. I had to fake being happy, and I should have been happy with this excellent gift, but I had snooped around before Christmas and saw it in their closet. I felt so guilty, and that maybe I didn't deserve it now. Then I feel guilty for not being honest about it. They know now, though. For Father's Day in 2020, my older son Joshua gave me a gift that keeps on giving. No, he didn't give me a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club. He gave me a beautiful baritone ukulele. Learning something new and being able to sing along has given me countless hours of joy. I have thanked him on multiple occasions for this wonderful gift. This next gift was just this past Friday. It's not a normal type of gift in the conventional sense, but as I mature, I am able to see gifts from a different perspective. On Friday, we had that cold front come through, which you probably all experienced also. In our neighborhood, it came through with very high winds. It was pretty scary. It knocked down a tree in our yard, and the tree fell on the power line that went from the pole to our house, ripped it completely off the wall. The storm also blew my neighbor's tree over, but it was being held up by another tree in our yard. All right. And as I was watching it out there, if the wind was still pretty high, I was afraid that that extra pressure of that tree, it was a big tree against my tree, would knock them both down and they would hit our house. Are you confused as how I perceive this as a gift? Well, to start with, we never lost electricity at the house. And when I called Atlantic City Electric emergency number, I was surprised and a little concerned when he didn't know that Absecon was in New Jersey. I thought I'd be talking to somebody from Atlantic City, but no, that was not where the call center was. But about 10 minutes later, a man from Mays Landing called me to say that someone was on the way. And 15 minutes later, there was an Atlantic City Electric truck there to assess the situation. The worker told me that there was a repair crew working on a house with the same problem one street away. An hour later, four trucks and six men showed up, and they reinstalled and secured the power line in short order. Now, I've never met this particular neighbor before, so meeting under such circumstances might not be favorable, right? I mean, not to your, hey, you don't know me, but as I walked up the front walk to his door, I noticed his flagpole had been blown down too. It was in the front yard. His name turns out is Scott. He had no idea his tree had come out of the ground. He was very cordial and concerned. Immediately, he started working on getting a tree crew there to take the tree all the way down. And after dinner, Carol and I were watching one of my favorite movies, It's a Wonderful Life. And as we watched, the tree crew showed up. It was dark and still windy. We could hear the trucks, the chainsaws, and one of those wood grinders, you know, as they feed the branches and the trunk into this giant machine. After the movie, I went out to see. The crew was gone, as was Scott's tree and our fallen tree. We could go to bed not worrying about our house being struck and damaged. It was a dark world when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That is why the Apostle John opens his gospel with the proclamation that Jesus is the light of the world, and in that light is life. Jesus himself claimed that title, I am the light of the world. It was dark because it was a pagan world. It was dark because Israel was occupied by Roman legions. It was dark because of oppression and violence. And next Sunday, we will explore that in more depth. In the account of the Magi from the East, we have many gifts presented. We have the gift of Scripture. When the Magi asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? What happened? The chief priests and teachers knew where to find the answer. They looked in the Scriptures. The ruler and shepherd of God's people would be born in Bethlehem. When we want to know about Jesus, the place to start looking is in the Holy Scriptures. You would have thought that King Herod, the priest, the scribes, and many people from Jerusalem would have gone with the Magi. But no mention is made to suggest that response. Instead, King Herod just told them to come back and let me know so I can go to worship him. This was not true. Too many people talk their religion, but don't live it. The guiding star was a gift. God often will guide us if we are just obedient to follow the light. Our New International Version translation says that the Magi were overjoyed to see the star stopped where the child was. I don't think that quite captures their feeling. Some translations say they rejoice exceedingly in their joy. Or they were overwhelmed with joy. Or rejoice with exceeding great joy. I think that fullness of all that gives us a feeling for what they experienced when they found the Christ child. And what was the first thing they did? They bowed down and they worshiped baby Jesus. To worship anything but God is sin. But this baby was God in the flesh. Most everyone knows about the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Did you catch that these were referred to as treasures? They opened up their treasures. Some translations said their treasure chests. Most translations get more specific about the incense and call it frankincense. Let's examine that gift first. Some scholars see it as symbolic of Jesus' priestly ministry. Other scholars say it points to Jesus' divinity. They argue that from Exodus chapter 30, 34 through 38. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it into powder and place it in front of the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from his people. It's for the Lord. Both could be correct. Both of the scholars' viewpoints could be correct. Pointing to Jesus' role as priest, one who intercedes with God on behalf of the people, and being God himself. Jesus in his humanity and in his divinity. Myrrh might be considered somewhat of a morbid gift. It points to the sacrificial death of Jesus. In the account in John, later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. It is not hard to see that gold is a great treasure. Gold is given to kings. Kings wear crowns of gold. It is valuable. It is beautiful and shining. Gold is universally recognized as wealth across the globe and across the centuries. Interestingly, the holy city of heaven is described in Revelation 21:21 like this. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. Pure gold, like transparent glass. Even gold is better in heaven. Our Heavenly Father is so good and so generous. James tells us Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We receive spiritual gifts. We receive material gifts. We receive our daily bread. We receive forgiveness. God is the gift that keeps on giving because God gives himself to us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 4:10, Jesus answered her to the Samaritan woman at the well. If you knew the gift of God and who it is to ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is referring to himself as that gift. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Romans 5, starting in the 15th verse. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Jesus promises a most precious gift in the first chapter of Acts. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God. God, the Holy Spirit. God continues to give of himself. Christian followers of Jesus are the tabernacle of God, a dwelling place of God. Oh, what a wonderful gift that is. Probably the best gift we can give is our presence. This year, Carol and I gifted our oldest grandson and his parents with his presence back here for Christmas. Nate is going to a school out in Laramie, Wyoming. And with two kids in college and medical bills and a major home repair this year, there wasn't enough money for Nate to come home for Christmas. So our gift to them was to pay for his trip home so that we could all enjoy his presence and he could be with family. Our Heavenly Father modeled this for us. He sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be God with us. Now, while Laramie is a long way from here, Jesus came down from heaven to that meager manger in a backwater place of the Roman Empire. The angel Gabriel said he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord Jesus was fully human and faced all the temptations that we have faced, yet he was without sin. This way, he could be the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Jesus gave the ultimate gift of his very life, suffering a shameful death on the cross. And why? So that we could be reconciled. We could be made right with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. This is the gift of eternal life. But more than that, it is the gift of presence. We can enjoy the presence of God, and God can enjoy the presence of his children. This was God's purpose from the beginning. A love-filled, joyous relationship. Creator with his creation. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you created us to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Let that be the lens through which we see our lives, through which we see the world, that it is the desire of your heart, that you are the father of that prodigal son who runs to meet him, embraces him, dresses him in the best robe, gives him that ring. Lord, then you throw a wonderful feast. That is the loving father pursuing the wayward child. That is the relationship, the desire to be restored. So many people are ignorant of what is available to them. They may be just blind to it. They may be too busy with other things. They may be so distraught and overcome that they've turned completely within. Instead, we all need to turn to you. We thank you for all your many gifts. Let us have grateful hearts. Let us be joy-filled, hope-filled, and love overflowing. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.